Date with Death by Julia Chapman. Read by Elizabeth Bower. Prologue. Mist, fog, or even broom? Dense cloud lapping at the muted glow of the station lamp. Twin tracks emerging suddenly from the murk. The edge of the platform softening into nothing. It was too far inland to be a har or a fret, but however it was labelled, it made the dark, early morning hour redolent of death. Richard Hargreaves, alone in this cold, shadowy world, stamped his feet, the sound smothered by the dampening shroud, and lamented the paucity of words to describe this recurrent feature of autumn in the Dales. Unlike the Inuit in the frozen north with their wealth of terminology for snow, the locals here had very few ways of representing these dark, damp, drizzly days. Fog, then. It was too thick for mist, visibility almost zero, and gave no hint of being burned off, should the sun ever rise above the hills to penetrate the low-lying vapour mass. He pulled his scarf tighter against his chilled neck, thrust his hands in the pockets of his overcoat, and smiled into the gloom. Last day of the week. 2 days without having to get up to catch the 6:30 train. And this evening, with her, there was a lot to look forward to, despite the dreary weather. He had no idea how wrong he was. To his right, the flare of an approaching light bled into the blanket of grey. Richard Hargreaves, for the last time in his life, hunched his shoulders, shoved his hands further in his pockets, and stepped towards the edge of the platform. When the blow struck him in the back, he had no means of defence, no means of stopping himself falling. Chapter 1. How was it possible to love somewhere and hate somewhere at the same time? Not sure there was an answer, the motorcyclist pulled over at the top of Gunnerstang Brow, turned off his bike, took off his helmet, and stared down at the slate roofs that cluttered the dale below. Mid-afternoon, with the October sun hanging low, the sheer limestone cliff that formed the backdrop of the town was ablaze, casting its reflected light on the houses and streets of a place he hadn't been near in 14 years. Bruncliffe. A squat collection of dwellings, cut through by a river and a train line, and hemmed in by the abrupt rise of the fells on three sides, it nestled confidently on the valley floor as it had done for centuries, bookended by the tall chimneys of long disused mills. Despite its isolation, its inhabitants believed themselves to be at the centre of the universe. Arrogant, forthright, quick to highlight faults, a lot slower to praise. And wary of Ofcomdens, outsiders, like him. Born and raised there, but never local. He pulled his gaze away from the buildings, let it rove over the green hills, the distinctive stone walls marching up and down their steep sides, the swell and fall of land that stretched into the distance, the indignant squawk of a pheasant scratched at the silence, followed by the pleading bleat of a sheep. It was a long way from London and the life he'd been leading, which was why he'd returned. Refocusing on the town, he followed the route the river took, cascading from the north, and there, off to the south and a white blur against the green, he saw Ellershaw Farm, the Metcalfe's place. Sheltered by the hills, yet with an open prospect, it had always been well maintained, pristine. But then it hadn't been run by a drunkard. Instinctively, his attention swung back up the dale, past the jumble of housing, out the back of the town to the cleft of two hills where the sun no longer lingered, and the wry smile that had settled on his bruised face dissolved into a frown. Home. The only one he had right now. Otherwise, he wouldn't be here, up on this hill, filled with this feeling of aversion and longing. Elaine Bullock could do many things. She could name every flower that flourished in Horbour Woods. All the trees, too. She could identify a bird from the first few notes of its song. She could also talk for hours about the clints and grikes that patterned the limestone pavement which defined the local landscape. What she couldn't do, however, was waitress. "Bugger," she muttered, as the stack of plates she was carrying back to the kitchen gave a sudden wobble, sending a knife clattering to the stone-flagged floor. It was closely followed by its sibling, a fork.
"Are you planning on dropping the lot, Elaine?"
demanded the taller of the two elderly ladies standing by the counter, both of them dressed in black. She indicated her companion